Two Royal Pardons, written by Werewolves Are Real, narrated by Rhea314, Fandom, Nine World Series by Victoria Goddard, The Lays of the Hearthfire series by Victoria Goddard, rating general audiences, no archive warning supply. Very good, says His Radiancy, sounding quite satisfied. These surveys should satisfy the council. Do we have any data on the response from the libraries? They've recorded a great surge of interest, says Cleofer, equally pleased. He keeps one hand clenched over his knee, though, steeling himself for his next request. Some areas have mysteriously acquired large quantities of previously banned books outside their budgets, but I don't think an audit is necessary. No, indeed. Surely these charitable donations were simply misfiled, says his lord with a wry little smile. Have there been any issues of note? He sounds more curious than concerned. Like Cleofer, his lord fully supported the removal of most censorship laws. Banned topics do still exist, most notably criticism of His Radiancy himself. The outcry to that proposal was so extreme they decided to postpone it. It was a complicated mess, anyway, trying to consider how blasphemy strictures would interfere. The Orda Natha control those matters. There's been some protest from nobles in Kavanduru. They're very, concerned about sexual immorality. To an extent, that rather wraps back around to making them the indecent ones in Cleofer's opinion. He's read the previous censorship laws, and he doesn't know how someone could write it without blush. He's still too disturbed to determine whether there's precedent for the extremely specialized law involving life-sized mannequins and an octopus. Also, Cleofer continues, it seems the censorship laws of Kavanduru included all things relating to the history of the empire in general. When we introduce the educational reforms, we should give them especial attention. Noted. But I can tell there is something else you want to add. Cleofer, what is it? Well, Cleofer can hardly ignore a direct question. He takes a breath. My lord, you've agreed to allow criticism of the old empire, your predecessors, and political figures in general. Why, then, is the poetry of Fitzroy Angersell still outlawed? Silence. His lord studies him, golden eyes gleaming. He asks, does it matter? Cleofer can't keep from bristling. Yes, he cries. He's only the best poet to have ever lived. It's an injustice. His Radiancy smiles, faint, like he's enjoying a secret joke. That is debatable. My favorite is The Deeds of Olor, personally. Cleofer slots away that tidbit even as he shakes his head. If anyone deserves to be pardoned, it's Fitzroy Angersell. By the entrance, one of the guards twitches a little. Cleofer occasionally does forget about them. There's always guards around His Radiancy, a silent fixture, and they're good at staying still. He wonders abashedly what they must think, watching him argue so rudely with the sun on earth. But His Radiancy continues to look amused. I will review some of the specifically banned authors, he concedes, but not Fitzroy Angersell. But why not? His Radiancy presses his lips together, eyes bright. Why, surely you cannot expect me to pardon such an unrepentant outlaw. It's decided, Cleofer. Let us drop the matter. But Cleofer, of course, does not. It takes Cleofer 4 days to send out the petitions, 2 more weeks to collect them all. He waits for a slow day, and inevitably his lord asks, we seem to have some extra time. Is there anything else to address? Firmly, Cleofer says, I was hoping to resume the matter of Fitzroy Angersell, my lord. And there it is again, the odd pause, the quirk of his lord's lip. By the doorway, Commander Ludwig turns to glance at Cleofer, but looks quickly away. The commander of the Imperial Guard must know by now that Cleofer is not a threat to his radiancy, admiration for poet radicals aside.
I would certainly love to hear your arguments, Cleofer.
So, Cleofer takes a breath. He presents, first, a list of comparisons, select details from Fitzroy Angersoll's work, and why they were previously outlawed, with careful arguments explaining why similar works were pardoned, and the ban is a double standard. This is a harrowing part of Cleofer's argument, because it obviously suggests he's read Aurora, which is illegal. But his lord just leans back in his chair and listens. Cleofer presents a survey from Damara, where voters debating the best poet of Zunith selected Fitzroy Angersoll as a write-in nomination when he wasn't even an option. It's not like it actually stops anyone from accessing his poems, Cleofer can't help but add. He tries not to make the argument personal, but it is personal, and Cleofer can't help but segueing into admiring tangents on the aesthetic beauty of the poems, the cunning morals, the heartbreaking spirit of resistance against a government that deserved to be resisted. An earlier government, obviously. No reflection on the current sun on Earth. No one would imply otherwise. Cleofer finally presents his survey results, proving that 83% of Salarin respondents want Fitzroy Angersoll pardoned. Even this number doesn't account for the people who might be afraid of admitting it. His Radiancy listens thoughtfully to all of this, nodding occasionally, that tiny smile hovering over his lips. His mien is grave and solemn, as when he receives news reports about major intermundial issues. He even makes a few polite inquiries. And then, at the end, he says, "A very thorough presentation, Cleofer. My answer remains the same." "But why?" Cleofer demands again. His lord always explains his reasoning, at least. Except today.
"Alas, you have not convinced me," his Radiancy says. The lion eyes gleam. "You are welcome to try again, however."
And Cleofer resolves that he will. It occurs to Cleofer that perhaps his Radiancy knows what happened to Fitzroy Angersoll. The poet's disappearance and the subsequent scattering of the Red Company is a mystery Zunith never solved. Most conspiracies point toward then-Emperor Eritanyir. Some people even say the death of the Emperor, which happened around the same general time, could be attributed to him. That perhaps Fitzroy Angersoll broke into the palace a second time, that he pushed Shalir Silvertongue from his balcony and killed Eritanyir, only to be wiped from this mortal world in punishment for his temerity. If his Radiancy knows any details about a covered-up regicide, it would make sense to hold Fitzroy Angersoll to a different standard. But. Censorship is still wrong, decides Cleofer righteously. One should be able to assess a work based on its own merits, and citizens should be able to read and consider the words of villainous evil figures too. Not, Cleofer admits privately, that he thinks Fitzroy Angersoll could be evil. Honestly, if he did kill Shalir and Eritanyir, the public would throw him a parade. But he can understand that the optics of such a thing would not be ideal for the last emperor. He does not want to accuse his lord of any conspiracy, nor directly put a name to the secret he may have discerned. Instead, Cleofer confronts his Radiancy with a long speech about the importance of open communication, emphasizing how tyrannical suppression of ideas only legitimizes them. He warns how easily the suppression of ideas can lead into tyranny and biased rulings, about trusting the general populace to use their own discerning judgment, about the returned trust that comes with good government and mutual love between good rulers and their people. He says, "They love Fitzroy Angersoll's works, my lord, but they will certainly not love you less for it." Over the course of this discussion, his lord listens first with bemusement, then growing interest. At the end, he clasps his hands together, leaning over his desk. "Cleofer, my dear, dear Cleofer, what exactly do you think Fitzroy Angersoll did to earn my unique treatment of his works?" Cleofer pauses. There's a strange sense of anticipation in the air. He clears his throat.
The popular theory is dual regicide, my lord, against the Emperor and Prince Chalier.
Cleofer has never seen this expression on His Radiancy's face. It twists and twitches in a way that reminds him of the guards on those days Cleofer gets particularly excited about something. He's not sure what the connection is, but it exists. His Radiancy eventually regains control of his face, chokes.
I've never heard that theory before.
Cleofer, abashed by his own temerity, kneels in apology. His Radiancy waves him up at once.
My lord, forgive me if I have overstepped.
No, no. It's good to keep abreast of rumors, is it not? I can assure you that Fitzroy Ingersoll, did not kill my predecessors.
Oh.
Cleofer mulls this over a moment. He tries not to be disappointed.
Then, my lord, I confess I still do not understand your hesitance.
So I see. His Radiancy quirks a smile, face oddly open. And yet my answer remains the same. No. Cleofer keeps trying. He's fairly certain it becomes something of a joke to His Radiancy, and perhaps some of the guards who occasionally provide suggestions for his arguments. Rodin gives him, without prompting, the names of surely sympathetic nobles, and from them, Cleofer makes another petition. The Duke of Eviano even suggests an official proposal that they edit together. His Radiancy declines it, and unlike Cleofer, the Duke considers his response final. Conju does not approve of his efforts. Cleofer continues to periodically bring up the issue, and one day the groom of the chamber pulls him aside.
I really cannot believe you, Cleofer. Hasn't this foolishness gone on long enough?
I know it isn't proper, Conju, but I don't think he minds my arguments. Maybe one day... Conju flaps a hand.
It is not that. Of course he loves debating with you.
Cleofer blinks.
What? But why must you keep talking about Fitzroy Ingersoll? He's an abominable poet, Cleofer. Really, find someone else to moon over, or at least be a bit less obviously smitten. It's embarrassing.
Cleofer gapes. Conju seems to consider this a job well done and stomps off. To Cleofer's faint resentment, Ludwig receives all Cleofer's efforts with a blank face and tiny smile that reminds Cleofer of their lord.
You're not going to change his mind,
is all he says whenever the subject arises. Cleofer pounces on it the first time.
Do you know why he won't consider it?
Ludwig just says,
It's complicated, but he does appreciate your viewpoint,
and refuses to elaborate. Years pass like this. Slowly, more and more of the censorship laws get broken. Cleofer's lord pardons many banished and hunted poets, among other artists. After much debate, he even pardons the Red Company, but not the most notorious one among them, the most loved. It's infuriating. Cleofer continues to bring up occasional new approaches, but eventually he just starts making a weekly habit of trying to badger His Radiancy about Fitzroy Ingersoll, with no particular plans in mind. Sometimes his lord lets him fawn over the poet's merits for a while. Especially, Cleofer's noticed, when in a bad mood, the distraction seems to cheer him. But it gets to the point that many exchanges look like this.
Anything else, my dear secretary?
About the pardon of Fitzroy Ingersoll, alas, my mind is unchanged. Perhaps he'll publish something new to sway me one day. Have a good evening.
But as they're ending such a week, a long, difficult week, wherein Cleofer's read bits of Aurora to himself every night to relax enough for sleep, he snaps.
I simply do not understand why this is different.
Cleofer bursts.
You generally agree with me on matters of censorship, my lord. How can you justify banning the greatest poet of the old empire simply because he embarrassed your uncle?
That infuriatingly odd smile makes an appearance.
Is that my reasoning?
I can't imagine what else it could be.
A hum.
Has it occurred to you, his lord prompts, thoughtful, that Fitzroy Angersell would not want his poetry unbanned?
Cleofer stops. He thinks about it.
By all accounts, Angersell was delighted and consistently amused by his own status as a rebel outlaw poet. And it does add something to his name, to his poetry, that reading it is in itself an act of revolution.
Perhaps he would not, Cleofer decides. His lord's smile widens until Cleofer adds,
But people should not be locked up for reading it, my lord, and that can happen. It does happen. It is not right.
His Radiancy's smile fades.
No, he murmurs. That is true.
He looks at Cleofer in contemplation.
My dear secretary, you have argued in defense of this poetry for so many years. Have you read it, aside from Aurora? Or do you simply defend Fitzroy Angersell on that merit alone?
It would be worthwhile for just Aurora, Cleofer counters, but he hesitates. His lord's idle question is technically a request for Cleofer to admit felonious actions. It is, he perceives, also a bid for trust. And Cleofer is not someone to turn from a challenge. Under his Radiancy's curious eye, he opens his writing kit. He unlatches one of the side panels, withdrawing the little book inside. He gets up and places it on His Radiancy's desk. His Radiancy opens it. He flips through the pages, eyes going round. And then he laughs. It's the best laugh Cleofer has ever heard from him. Cleofer can only stare in astonishment as his Lord of Rising Stars tips his head back, laughing with complete abandon. Finally, he settles enough to gasp mirthfully,
Wherever did you get this?
For plausible deniability purposes, I should not like to say, says Cleofer, which prompts another explosion of mirth. Finally, his Radiancy's cackles die down.
Fine. You have defeated me in debate, Cleofer. I can hardly let my beloved secretary get arrested for possessing, perhaps, the only surviving copy of Fitzroy Angersell's complete works.
I might have made duplicates, Cleofer admits, and has the privilege of seeing his lord wheeze. His lord has the kind inclination to write him an official pardon, with great flourishing glee, and then requests to borrow the book. He disappears with it that very day into his private study. Cleofer hopes his lord examines it thoroughly. His Radiancy has always enjoyed poetry. Once he's read that book, Cleofer's sure he'll appreciate Fitzroy Angersell's genius. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.